Welcome to Conversations with Leaders, an AWS podcast focused on personal lessons of leadership, culture, and technology from business leaders across the globe. Enjoy today's conversation.
Security leadership has to start at the top. When the C-suite sits down to discuss business strategy, security has to not only have a seat at the table, but be the first priority on everyone's mind. I'm Clark Rogers, Director of Enterprise Strategy at AWS, and your guide for a series of conversations with AWS security leaders here on Executive Insights. My guest today needs no introduction, Adam Selipsky, CEO of AWS. Listen in as we discuss how security culture was first established at AWS, what communication looks like between the CEO and CISO, and how Adam supports security initiatives from the top. Thanks for joining us. Adam Selipsky, CEO of Amazon Web Services. Thank you so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So you don't need any introduction, but I think our listeners would love to hear a little bit about your background and your return to AWS and your current role.
Well, I came to Amazon in 2005 to help start up AWS, and we were about 1 year pre-launch then. A year later, in 2006, we launched our first real service, simple storage service, S3, and then 6 months later, EC2, the Elastic Compute Cloud, which is the service which really got the word cloud to be used for these modular infrastructure services that we were providing. I spent 11 years at AWS in my first stint.
Right.
And in late 2016, I did end up sort of shocking myself by leaving to become the CEO of Tableau. Mm-hmm. And then another really unexpected turn of events, and I ended up coming back to AWS. And I've been back for about 2.5 years. It's an incredible privilege, an amazing team, amazing set of products and services, and of course, a truly amazing customer and partner base.
For sure. And I joined in 2016, so I don't take your departure personally. So
I knew the place was going to the dogs. I had to get out. Yeah.
So let's take a step back in history a little bit. So it's 2005. You had the blessing from Jeff Bezos to go ahead and move forward with this little experiment called AWS. How did you approach those very early security conversations with those customers? And, you know, I can appreciate there are a lot of customers at that point that said, what's cloud? You know, what's distributed computing? They may not even have that. But what, if any, security conversations were happening at that time?
Well, as you said, it really was a new concept for most customers. And as I mentioned before, nobody was even saying cloud. We talked about modular units of functionality. We talked about distributed computing. And people would kind of cock their heads sideways. And it was pretty hard to explain. And then after we released EC2, Elastic mm-hmm. Compute Cloud, we weren't the ones to promulgate this term, oh, it's cloud computing. It kind of got coined out there somewhere. And the ugly truth is I actually resisted the term, you know, for quite a while. It's like, oh, what's this cloud computing thing? And it turned out to be the term that people actually understood.
Right.
So I finally learned to stop worrying and love the cloud. To your question about security, it was a very new concept, and admittedly to a lot of people was not intuitive that you would give your workloads over and mm-hmm. have them run, you know, so, quote unquote, somewhere out there. And of course, that's why it's called the cloud, is
sure.
somewhere out there. So it's understandable that it took a bunch of education. But once it really started to make sense to people, once we explained a few of the fundamentals, the biggest of which was that Amazon had to get really, really good at all this because there was no AWS.
For sure.
And so Amazon had to be really good at running infrastructure that was highly scaled, highly available, highly cost-effective, and of course, very operationally available and secure. And we really built off of all of that expertise inside of Amazon, which was operating at a scale that, frankly, even then, not a ton of companies were operating at, and built AWS. One of the big premises was that there was a bunch of undifferentiated heavy lifting. Sometimes we called it the muck of infrastructure. And most companies really shouldn't have to be good at that infrastructure. If you're selling automobiles, if you are streaming movies, mm-hmm. if you are discovering drugs, why should you be good at running massive infrastructure and keeping it available and keeping it secure and having it be low cost and moving forward and be innovative? That, of course, was the business of AWS.
Right.
And so it made sense for us to be really good at all those things. So as one of the major elements of that, we really would explain our approach to security, which was that flat out, it was job zero at AWS.
Right.
And fast forward 17 and a half years later, it's still job zero at AWS. It is still the most important thing that we do. We will still drop any other priority if we see either a security need or a security opportunity. I make sure to be very vocal about that because it's just more important than anything else we do. In fact, we were very clear from the beginning. We used to say that there were very few potential extinction events for AWS, but the wrong security problem was one of those few things that could be an extinction event for the company, particularly in the early days. And we took it that seriously.
And so did that drive certain behaviors in the product teams as they were developing these new services like SQS and S3 and EC2?
So our security team, centralized AWS security team, builds a lot of technical capabilities, has a lot of experts to help audit and counsel and drive strategy. At the same time, our service teams, EC2, S3, DynamoDB, Connect, Amazon Bedrock, whatever it may be, all are 100% owners of their security. It is not outsourced to the security team.
Right.
So if there's an issue with one of our services, that service GM is fully on it, feels full ownership, is fully driving, and of course has the full partnership of our security team. And I think building that security into our service team culture ensures that we actually then build it into the service. This is critical. We build it into the service from day one. We don't come after the fact.
Right.
We're always improving security, of course, but we fundamentally bake enterprise-grade, rock-solid security into everything we do in any service from the moment we start developing it.
Absolutely. So, we're 17 and a half years later from initial launch. How have the security, and when I say security, I mean risk and compliance conversations as well, how have those evolved in your interactions with customers?
I think that the security conversations started with, really, could this possibly be secure?
Right.
And of course, we've covered that we quickly moved past there.
Right.
And I think there were some seminal moments when Netflix announced that they were, and they're very capable, by the way. They can build any of these capabilities, but they chose not to. When they announced that they were going to essentially get out of the data center business and put all of their infrastructure on AWS, which implicitly meant all of the security, all of the availability, I think a lot of people really took note of that, and that changed the tenor of the conversations. We had a number of government agencies, including kind of prominent members of the intelligence community of the U.S. government, saying publicly that AWS provided better security than they had in their own data centers. And again, a lot of folks, including big enterprises, banks, pharmaceutical companies,
right,
et cetera, took notice of that. So as you had big customers like that saying, this is a great security model, we are going to trust AWS with these functions, I think a lot of other companies took notice.
We hope you're enjoying this discussion. To engage with other business leaders on these topics, follow us on LinkedIn at AWS Executive Connection. Now back to our conversation.
I had the privilege of interviewing the AWS CISO, and we were talking about security mechanisms, what works in large organizations, what doesn't work so well. And one of the most effective mechanisms that he referred to was the weekly CEO CISO meeting at AWS. And of course, he said, this sets the tone for the rest of the organization. It keeps the CEO informed of what's going on in the security realm. It keeps the CISO informed of what's important to the CEO. So my question to you is, I would love to hear your perspective of that meeting, right? So not a security professional, but your perspective as a business leader. How does that meeting work for you?
In this particular case, one of our many security mechanisms is this weekly meeting that I and my chief information security officer, Chris Betts, jointly run. As you mentioned, it does send a cultural signal. So it is a weekly meeting, no kidding. We prioritize it. And the content is incredibly simple. We go through the top couple, three security issues that have surfaced over the past week. And we always have the meeting. It's not a presentation, very much in Amazon style. There is a written document, a written summary of the security issue. It has been carefully vetted before the meeting. And it is complete and contains exactly where we are and exact next steps on that security issue. And the folks on the appropriate service team and, of course, security team, anybody who's directly involved, are all in that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And it is definitely educational. It's sometimes comfortable and sometimes, frankly, less comfortable because we take this incredibly seriously. And if we see any issue that needs to be remediated, mm-hmm. Any behaviors which need to change, anything that we need to do different technically to ensure the outcomes we want, then we're very, very open about them in that meeting. And so I think that also sends a cultural signal.
For sure.
That we are absolutely deadly serious about this. And so it helps technically to make us better. And I think it's also important culturally at reinforcing that indeed security really is still job zero at Amazon.
So a slight pivot from there, your line of business leaders, how do you hold them accountable for the security of their particular service or other business that they're running inside of AWS?
Well, in general, they hold themselves accountable, and that's the culture we've built around this, which is by far a better answer than somebody else trying to hold them accountable. So I think with the culture we've built around security, with the clear ownership model we've established, where it's really part of their day job, not an extra added thing, and with mechanisms like the weekly security meeting, mm-hmm. which of course they attend if it's their team who's got any issue that week, that really creates a lot of different forces for momentum of their holding themselves accountable. And it's really much easier and much better that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also it is important to have the centralized security team. You know, they are the ones that are true experts on anything and everything security. They get to look at best practices across all of our teams.
They're
the ones who can ensure that if there's any team where we suspect we need to do anything differently on security, they can talk to the leaders on that team, be it, you know, technical or business leaders. So I really think it's having these multiple mechanisms that all come together that really, you know, puts the ownership on that team. On the rare occasions where or there is an issue with the team, it becomes, you know, very evident immediately that we're expecting that team to understand the issue, that team to remediate the issue. Of course, they're going to get help from whoever they need help from, but that they own it.
I think it's a really important point to call out, having that business leader ownership around security as well as the functionality of the product they're building and the P&L, right? A lot of our customers, they have those responsibilities separate, and then sometimes there's an issue because of that. But having that single path of ownership is fantastic. As we sort of pivot just a little bit, when you have those sort of private meetings with customer CEOs and effectively your peers, what are they asking you? What are they talking to you about in terms of security and privacy and compliance and sort of the regulatory regime that we see out there? Can you give us sort of a little peek into those conversations?
Those are really important conversations, which a lot of CEOs really do care about. And these topics resonate with many of them, as they should. I guess I'd point to a few things. Well, generative AI, of course, is on everybody's mind. And we get a lot of questions around how do I think about security in a generative AI world, and things are moving so quickly, and what types of applications or technologies should I be using, and how do I know they're secure, and how do I think about, you know, being secure inside of my company as well. And the first part of the answer is you should expect from generative AI exactly the same level of security that you expect from any other mm-hmm. service that you consume. Somehow there's been this schism where people talk about enterprise security for all these services over here, and then, oh, now let's talk about generative AI. And it was actually quite astounding to me how some of the first generative AI chatbots or consumer-grade assistants came out really without a security model. And the data literally did go out over the internet, and any improvements to the model literally would be shared by everybody using the models. And that's why so many CIOs, CISOs, mm-hmm. and CEOs literally banned some of these assistants from their company, you know, for a good amount of time. But it kind of amazes me because, you know, I think about going to a security-minded CEO or CIO or a CISO and saying, hey, I've got this amazing new database service. There's nothing like it. You're going to love it. I really think you should adopt it. By the way, it's got no security model attached to it, but don't worry about it because I'll come around with V2 and it'll be secure then. I mean, I'd get thrown out of my you-know-what.
Sure.
At least I hope I would. I would deserve to. And so I think other companies in this space have, for some reason, I can't tell you why, taken a different approach to security and somehow deemed it less important. And we're very predictable here. Our generative AI services like Amazon Bedrock, which is a managed service for operating foundation models, is no more secure and no less secure than any other AWS service.
It follows the Amazon way.
Follows the Amazon way. It is in your virtual private cloud or VPC. It is isolated. Everything is encrypted. Nothing goes out on the internet. It has full access to permissions and identity on AWS. It's your own private version of the model in Bedrock. No data goes anywhere. And by the way, any improvements to the model via fine-tuning, customization, et cetera, that you do, don't go anywhere. Don't improve the model for your competitors. So to be honest with you, never occurred to me that we could do it any other way. But it seems to be not the way that everybody is necessarily doing it.
What advice would you give your peer CEOs who maybe are not leaning in as much to security risk and compliance issues within their organization to get more involved in them?
I think the first thing would be to understand how important is security to your business. And in what ways is security important to your business? I think it's easy to say, oh, security. It always has to be, the top thing that anybody is always worried about. And I already said for AWS it is.
For sure.
That was a statement about us and the type of business we run and the trust that our customers place in us to run their mission-critical workloads. But there are other businesses for which different aspects of their business probably have a different security set of risks and opportunities. And so deciding, where does security really matter in my business? And that's going to help me decide where to invest, because I think it can be pretty daunting if the concept is, well, I have to invest a massive amount of money everywhere in security, right, irrespective of whether I manufacture farm equipment or whether I have a large social media website or whether I'm a startup in the data space.
Got it.
And I think the security priorities are going to be different. All of those types of companies are going to have security needs, and security will be important in one way or another. But I really encourage people to kind of dive down deeper than that and figure out what the true priorities are. And that usually actually makes it a lot easier to invest, because you say, hey, I'm going to start by investing more there, and then we'll decide what the next spots are to invest. So that's probably the first thing I counsel folks.
So what advice would you give to CISOs who are trying to report security and compliance in a meaningful way up to the CEO, the board of directors, that kind of thing?
I'll tell you the advice I give my CISO and the request that I have of my CISO, which I think is probably very similar to what makes sense for other CISOs, which is to put a customer lens, a customer filter on your work, your job, and the advice and the counsel that you're giving. That the CISO's job is to enable the business to do what it needs to do and what it wants to do to delight customers and to provide value to customers, comma, securely.
For sure.
So be innovative, be creative, find ways to say yes to the idea that the business wants to do, while at the same time being the champion of your customers in terms of operating securely. And I think that creates great credibility, because then the CISO becomes viewed as a valuable business partner who is driving and enabling the business, as opposed to somebody you need to get a checkbox from. And I think it totally changes the relationship. And it also really helps with prioritizing the resources. So you can really then tell when viewing it through the customer lens of where do we truly create customer risk if we do X, or where do we really create a great customer opportunity in security if we do Y, if you think about it in that way. And then, by the way, I think also the CISO gains an enormous amount of credibility on those occasions where he or she does say, I need to pull the and-on cord. We cannot, we should not do this. We need to fix something before we do. And if that is a rare occasion, then you, if you're smart, you will take that very, very seriously.
That's fantastic advice. Adam, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to meet with me today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Conversations with Leaders, brought to you by AWS Executive Insights. For more on these topics, visit aws.amazon.com/executive insights. While there, visit our generative AI and ML page for more resources to help you unlock the value of generative AI for your business.